Live. Welcome back to the show. It's Stephanie with you.
And Mark.
We'd love to hear from you tonight at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'd love to hear you bring up whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves. Mark, you know, in the meantime, we're going to talk about something that's interesting to us. And this is, well, I don't know if I'd call it interesting. I'd more say disturbing and important, you know, important to talk about. We didn't get to it in the last hour because we had so many calls come in, which is great.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Yes, I always enjoy that. But I really wanted to share this with the audience. The headline from the dailymail.co.uk, of course, this is a foreign periodicals reporting on U.S. Military mishaps and things like that. As it usually goes, the U.S. Papers don't really report on this too much.
Not often.
Or it seems to be more often from overseas periodicals. But in any rate, the headline is, shocking figures show one U.S. soldier commits suicide every day. Suicides are surging among America's troops, averaging nearly one a day this year, the fastest pace in the nation's decade of war. The 154 suicides, for active duty troops in the first 155 days of the year far outdistanced the U.S. forces killed in action in Afghanistan, about 50% more, according to Pentagon statistics obtained by the Associated Press. Now, this is I think this is a very conservative number. I mean, the military has every incentive to minimize the amount of, soldiers that are killed, that are counted in these suicide statistics.
Right, and they're the ones who compile the statistics.
Exactly, exactly.
So under the military's numbers, there's one soldier a day, and I assume this is soldiers, airmen, marines, and the whole deal, right?
It says U.S. forces, so yes, I assume that's right.
So, I mean, this is under their numbers. What's it say, I guess, is what, you know, one might ask oneself.
Exactly, and it's interesting because the article says something like, I have a couple of theories personally about what could be going on, but the article says, it's not clear why this is going on. It could be, a number of different things. It could be the economy and could be PTSD and stuff like that. But, wow, I mean, to me, it just seems like...
But PTSD doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, people aren't getting getting PTSD because they're in war zones. And they're not getting just PTSD because they're in war zones. What they found is that there are more cases are more frequent and more severe of PTSD when soldiers feel remorse about what they've done. They feel guilt about their actions. And, you know, it's hard to get good reporting about what goes on in the front lines.
But there are a number of people who've come out later after the fact and said that they disagreed with what was going on, you know, and they sort of had to go along with it or felt forced to because they were just following orders and they didn't really have much of a choice. And what are you going to do when you're surrounded by people who are saying, this is okay, keep doing this, keep fighting, keep following orders and stuff like that? So it's really, you can feel trapped, I would assume.
Yeah, it's really difficult to look at this objectively because the United States is in the war. People want to support the troops and that kind of thing.
But wow, what better way to support them than to, like, save their lives, you know, to make it so that they don't want to kill themselves?
Well, a lot of people would say, well, what about the ones that have died? They can't have died for nothing. And I guess look at 6 decades of war for the United States and ask yourself how many of those, you know, Vietnam is a pretty good example of, you know, a war that seemed relatively pointless to a lot of people, including the ones that were over there in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was the accomplishment there? You know, yeah, lots of brave men and women gave their lives in the service of their country. Some of them by accident entirely. They went because they had to, and then they just died because something bad happened. But some of them, you know, did brave things either for their compatriots or for their country or for whatever reason they did them. But, you know, what is the difference? What changed? Vietnam essentially was taken over by as a communist country.
Yeah.
So the whole purpose of fighting it was lost. I mean, you know, what would someone say that the Confederate soldiers' lives were given to a good cause? I don't know. I'm from the South, and I wouldn't say that necessarily.
Yeah, war, what is it good for?
I mean, really, it doesn't seem to be very good for much.
Yeah.
It's good for the politicians. I mean, you know, there's lots of people
good
out
the
there
military
that,
contractors.
That are really into their political parties that might say that, yeah, Vietnam was important and you people are bad Americans for saying otherwise. But I've got to say that it seems rather pointless. And if you say that the war was pointless, then what do you say about the deaths?
Mm.
I mean, were the deaths noble and, you know, had a great point? They may have been noble, but you know, nobility in the pursuit of pointlessness doesn't seem as important as, say, nobility in the pursuit of something that had a point.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, exactly. And the way I like to think about it is that I care about these people, you know, they're fellow human beings,
sure.
And I don't want to see them die, whether that's from suicide or from combat or whatever. And so it is really important to very critically evaluate, you know, whether this war makes sense, and in my peacenik opinion, it pretty much never does, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are probably some wars you can look at that are certainly make more sense than others. I'm willing to, you know, have discussions with people on that, but, you know, this one doesn't seem to make any sense at all.
I like that bumper sticker, I'm already against the next war.
Yeah, I'm already against the next war, too.
Yeah, yeah. So this article also says from the Daily Mail, the military is also struggling with increased sexual assaults, alcohol abuse, domestic violence, and other misbehavior. And wow, yeah, I've read some shocking articles about women in the military getting raped brutal ways, like thousands, tens of thousands of them every year.
I've heard that up to 1/3 of women in the military have some kind of sexual assault committed against them.
Yes, and often they get discharged and labeled as having personality disorders, and so they can't receive medical care from the VA afterwards.
They
are encouraged not to report them. You know, this is according to somebody who was in the military. I think it was Kelly Vallejos who wrote this, and she's a veteran. You know, this is real, and this is happening, and these things aren't being taken seriously, but it's kind of like, what do you expect when there's a world of violence all around you, and a world of hierarchy and kind of abuse and that kind of thing?
And it's tough, because the people that they're, you know, speaking as a person who was 18 years old, mm-hmm. I will say that as an 18-year-old, I was an idiot, an utter moron. And so, you know, the 18-year-olds make the decision, and some of those decisions are to go into the military. They make lots of decisions, and people tend to question every other decision that an 18-year-old will make. But this is the one good decision that they can make, I guess. And certainly there's some benefits to going into the military. I'm not going to say that there aren't any benefits, but
it's hard. People cite college, but it's hard. I hear it's hard to get those GI funds and stuff.
I think that, you know, for some people it's probably easier than others. I couldn't say.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean,
I don't. We've never been in, but you know, we certainly talk to a lot.
I certainly talked to a recruiter. I mean, I was ready to sign up more than once, but it just didn't happen for me.
Yeah, and here's my confession too. I actually briefly considered, you know, joining the National Guard. You know why?
Why's that?
This is embarrassing to admit, but I'll say it, because I wanted to get in shape. That's the thought process of my 15, 16-year-old mind.
Right. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people go in for the discipline. That's one of the things that they sell.
Have nothing else to do, so this is a career that people seem to think is honorable. I'll get lots of respect. Maybe I'll get some perks. And
if they sell discipline, why are suicides going up, rapes going up, domestic violence going up, and these kind of things? I mean, aren't these indicative of a lack of discipline?
Right.
I think that this is bullcrap when it comes to the discipline thing.
Yes.
I think that the only thing that they teach you is to follow orders, and that's not discipline. Discipline comes from the inside, and you know, this is one of those things that I feel that they sell. They talk about that it just isn't so.
Well, yeah, and actually, this article has a quote from somebody saying that a senior army general recently told soldiers considering suicide to, quote, act like adults. Really? You're going to shame somebody because they are in serious need of mental health, and they have a lot of health help, excuse me. They have a lot of trauma that they're dealing with, and you're going to tell them to act like an adult? It's just not very compassionate at all. I've heard from somebody who was in the military that I was talking to today that when somebody is on sort of suicide watch, or when somebody is suicidal, at least in the Army, they will make them wear a pink vest, which signals to everybody that they're on suicide watch.
Swell.
And pink. Why is it pink? You know, what message are they sending? Trying to send a message that, what, it's not masculine?
Because rainbow was taken?
Is it a device to shame them? I don't know.
It certainly sounds like it. I mean, if you make a male especially wear a pink thing, you know, it sounds like a shaming device. Sounds like a dunce cap to me.
It's 855-450-FREE. That's our number on Free Talk Live. Call us. Let us know what you think about this outrageous numbers of military suicides. I'd like it to stop. I'd like peace. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
Imagine you're on trial. The charge against you? Violating one of the hundreds of laws Congress passes each year. You rise in your defense and say, Your Honor, I didn't know about this law. How will the judge respond? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org, and I think you know the answer. The judge will reply, Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizeDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. We want to slow the politicians down. We want to reduce the size and power of the federal government, and we want them to sweat the details, just like you do. Check out DownsizeDC.org, because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, June 8th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $15.82.10. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $16.21.90, $8.10.95 for a half ounce, or $405.48 for a quarter ounce. That's $16.21.90, $8.10.95, and $405.48.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. It's Stephanie with you.
And Mark.
And we're so glad that you've joined us this evening. If you'd like to call and talk with us, our number is 855-450-FREE. That is 855-450-3733. You know, Mark, there was a caller in, I think, the last hour who called and said that he likes my voice. Well, if you want to hear more of my voice, I have my own radio show. It's called Pork Therapy, porctherapy.com. You can hear me on Friday nights. And I also do narrations and voiceovers, so you can always email me if you want one of those.
That's right.
Stephanie at freetalklive.com. All right.
Excellent.
So, Mark, you know, we wanted to get into this article about, well, it sort of dovetails with what we were just speaking about. We read an article about the military and the number of suicides happening. Very tragic goings on there. But there's a National Guardsman who's having an issue with a peace activist that he wants to rent a house from. So maybe this will tie in with both sort of military issues and discrimination and private property. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, this is from BostonHerald.com, written by Laurel Sweet. It's apparently a National Guardman who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Gitmo has sued a woman he tried to rent from after she told him his war service and her peace activism presented a conflict of interest and suggested he seek housing elsewhere.
So let me get this straight. She said, you know, I don't think we're really compatible to be in this kind of renter-rentee relationship. Why don't you go find housing somewhere else? And he sued her to force her to do business with him. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, you know, at some point, I guess they got into the process to some extent or another, and then, you know, that was, you know, it didn't go any farther.
Wow.
And
now,
so,
just at the very first point, this kind of rankles me, I guess. Let's say that I was trying to rent an apartment, and there was, for instance, a misogynistic landlord who doesn't like women, or doesn't like people with curly hair, or something like that.
Well, you were born that way.
Yeah, exactly, with both of those ways. And so I can't control either of those things, and I find it kind of silly that this person has a prejudice against me for something I can't control. So, but why would I want to sue him to make him do business with me? That's the part I don't get. It's not like, you know, there's a shortage of people who would rent to military members or National Guards people. It's not like everybody's a peace activist and he couldn't get a housing if he were to try. It just strikes me as a little bit odd.
To some extent, this is like it's an affront, and the person should pay for the affront is kind of like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I can, you know, I mean, I don't like it when people think differently than me any more than anyone else does. I mean, everybody talks about diversity, but nobody wants it. I want a diversity of opinion. I want people to think like I do, because obviously I'm right. And, you know, I'm assuming that's kind of what's going on here, is this guards person, he sees an opportunity to not only teach a person a lesson who disagrees with him. I'm just drawing some conclusions here, but at the same time to win the lottery, as it were. I mean, you know, hey, I've been offended.
Yeah,
that's right, Mamma Jamma. You're going to pay me.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I can use the government to get that done.
You don't have the right not to be offended.
Mm.
And people do have the right to their political opinions. Now, many will say those rights don't extend into business. When you hang your shingle out and want to do business, then you have to treat everybody fairly. But,
this is a very unusual case. Usually when we hear about discrimination lawsuits or things of that nature, it's like a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, a misogynist, or whatever,
sure,
who's discriminating against one of the groups that have been historically discriminated against a lot. In this case, I don't think I've ever heard of anything like this, a peace-loving activist discriminating against a person who's in the military.
I haven't heard of it either, but I'm unsurprised by it. Here's a quote from the service person here. It says, for her to do that to me, it was like a spit in the face.
Oh, yeah, he's offended.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, clearly he's offended. And it's always they're projecting this this meme of military men coming back and getting spit in their faces. Now, this is...
And it's like, don't you dare not respect me. Don't you... I need your approval. You know, I am entitled to your approval.
Yeah,
right?
You know, a lot of people say thank you for your service all the time to military members and that kind of thing.
And they are sold a bill of goods or told that it's going to be this super honorable thing. And most people, I would say, in mainstream culture, do treat military service as the most honorable thing
that you can do. Attorney for the person says it's illegal, but it's also just unconscionable. It's something any American should be embarrassed about.
Oh, wow, them's fighting words, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I look.
She should be ashamed of herself for not fawning over this military member. I mean, come on, all she did was say, hey, you know, I'd rather not have this relationship with you. If you told someone, like, hey, I'd rather not be friends with you, I don't think we have a lot in common, are you going to get sued? I mean, that's sort of what it's like to me. And it's her property. She can rent it to whoever she chooses.
What if this was a dating situation and a young lady was a peace activist? He came on to her in uniform or something like that. And she said, look, I don't date soldiers because, you know, to me, you're bad people or whatever it is that she said. You know, are you going to sue her for that? It's just another type of relationship.
I assume this National Guardsman is straight. Maybe I'm making an assumption here, but let's say he's straight. What if a man hit on him? You know, is the man going to sue him for not going to go on a date with him? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
The most difficult part here is if this is what happened, I don't have a problem with somebody publicizing it. But what happens is if you can sue in these circumstances, you drive this behavior underground.
Mm.
If she found out he was a National Guards person and she decides she doesn't want to rent to him because he's a National Guards person and she didn't tell him the situation. I don't know what she said and what she didn't. Mm. The lawsuit will figure that out, or they'll come to some conclusion, whatever it might be. But, you know, if she's then the next time this happens, assuming she's still in business and hasn't, pillaged her of all of her money.
Yeah.
Then what's she going to say to the guards person? She's just going to say, hey, the unit's full. Sorry.
Sure.
This isn't going to force her to take guards people as renters.
Exactly.
This is
not going to change her ideas. You can't force someone to like somebody else.
You can't demand respect.
Yeah.
You can demand. You can project fear and intimidation, but you can't get respect. If you want respect, you need to earn it. And everybody's going to have some different way of getting respect. Some people are going to respect you because you're a guards person. Some people are not. And that's the end of the story. I don't see it as having been a particularly respectable career. To me, politicians largely are liars and thieves. And since we're in a democratic society, that means that largely they go about lying and stealing.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, somebody who does their bidding, i.e., bureaucrats, military members, and those folks, is just somebody who works for liars and thieves. So, if you are somebody who works in an organization that kills people and breaks things, that's what I've seen on the T-shirts at the Army-Navy stores. What's that make you to these people? It doesn't. I like the flag as much as anybody else, and there are certainly wars out there that I think we should have fought. I like heroism. I like the idea of somebody jumping in front of bullets to save their friends, their compatriots. I like all those things. But mindlessly following orders that are passed down from politicians.
It doesn't entitle you to somebody's respect.
And I
think we should judge people as individuals, not based on, what their profession happens to be, right? It's important to think of it, to judge everybody else on their actions. You know, and maybe this landlady is sort of locking herself out of certain clients that, maybe she's hurting her business by rejecting certain clients, but that should be her choice to make. It's Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. More coming up. Stay tuned.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been, thankfully, the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jamb plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your lake will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. Stephanie with you.
And Mark.
And thanks for joining us tonight. 855-450-FREE is the number, and you are, of course, listening to the live Sunday night edition. 855-450-3733 is the number, and would like to remind you about m.freetalklive.com if you're wanting to listen to Free Talk Live on your mobile phone. Visit m.freetalklive.com for easy access to our streams and podcasts and all the tools that you could want to get Free Talk Live on your phone. All right, Mark. Well, you know, we were going to talk about this man who was shot for legally carrying a firearm. What's that all about?
That's the case. But first, real quick, let me tell you about Bitcoins. They're the world's first potentially anonymous digital cash. If you want to use Bitcoins to send and receive money, you don't have to pay any fees. And as a merchant, there are no chargebacks. And anyone can download the free software, be using it in just a few minutes. You don't have to, you know, click on any terms of service. There isn't any bank or government corporation. Anytime that you're using these other services, you're always paying some kind of fees back and forth. Somebody's taking
a cut. Very annoying. Sometimes they can be big.
Inserting themselves in between your process of buying and selling, no matter what it is. Well, with you can find out more about Bitcoins at weusecoins.org. But now, thanks to BitInstant.com, you can have Bitcoins in less than an hour by depositing cash at any major bank. To buy your Bitcoins with cash, visit BitInstant.com. Again, it's BitInstant.com.
All right. So tell me more about this person who was shot. Ostensibly was legally carrying a gun.
That's right. So this is from actually WND.com, World Net Daily. Say what you want about them. Some of these articles are gold. So, and you're not going to find this story anyplace else. I don't find these stories.
I am going to be a little skeptical of it, though, because this is definitely a heavily slanted news source.
Indeed. Yeah. Eric Scott was a West Point graduate. graduate who went on to serve honorably in the Army, get his MBA from Duke, and establish a lucrative career in real estate as a sales rep for a medical device company. He was 38 years old when he was gunned down in 2010 in the portico of a Las Vegas area Costco store by officers from Las Vegas Metro Police Department. While it was seven bullets from the only people who were supposed to trust with guns that snuffed out Eric Scott's life, what really killed him was an irrational fear of firearms, what they call hoplophobia, I guess.
I didn't know there was a word for that.
Yeah, well, there's a word for everything. Greek was a big language, right?
Sure.
Scott and his girlfriend had been shopping at the Costco, but had been asked to leave when an employee spotted Scott's lawfully carried handgun.
And is this in North Carolina?
No, this is in Las Vegas.
Okay. I forgot.
Scott had inadvertently exposed the gun when he squatted down to inspect some merchandise. He informed the employee that he was legally carrying the gun and was in possession of a valid Nevada concealed weapons permit, but was informed that Costco had a policy against carrying firearms in their stores.
I suppose they're only going to know if you're printing or if you bend over or something.
Something.
Yeah.
A brief argument ensued, some raised voices, and obvious frustration on Scott's part, but witnesses said that it didn't seem like a big deal. They saw nothing particularly threatening about the incident or the clean-cut, good-looking young man. The store manager, this is, I imagine, the kind of bend we're talking about with World Net Daily.
Yep, he's clean-cut, so he must be good.
That's right. The store manager had spoken with Scott, seemed satisfied by Scott's reassurance that he was a legal firearm carrier, and that he will be finishing his shopping in a few minutes. But a store loss prevention officer, so that's the guys that are supposed to prevent the shoplifting, had called the police and reported that an armed man was behaving erratically in the store.
Wow, so, this is like telephone, like how things get twisted, you know, the more people they go through.
That's right. And that report, based on an irrational fear, perhaps some personal envy, triggered events which quickly spiraled out of control. It seemed that the fear factor was taken up a notch with each description of the story, to the point that the responding officers believed they were going into a violent hostage situation with a heavily armed, dangerous Green Beret.
Wow.
The Vegas MPD...
That's just poor communication right there.
Well, you know, none of this communication has anything to do with the guy who was carrying the gun.
Yeah, exactly. I know they want to be prepared for the worst. You know, it's always, I suppose, better to be prepared to handle whatever comes at you. But at the same time, there can be consequences to that, too, to be overly scared, overly amped up and prepared.
And you know, when they go, often these stories, they are the ones who make the story. They write the police report, the blotter goes in, the reporters report, and that's the only story you will ever get,
right?
Is man behaving erratically at Costco store with gun. That's
the
story.
Thank goodness we have the police there to keep us safe from this mad Costco shopper.
How many police officers are going to go in, shoot a man seven times, and then say, well, you know, by all appearances here, it looks like we overreacted in shooting this guy. Everybody says that he was doing fine and that we smoked him for no good reason. Mm. I mean, who's going to say that? You know, what kind of fool would throw their career down the crapper?
No.
When all they have to do is bend the story a little bit. I mean, the guy was raising his voice. He did have a gun. Well, that's good enough for erratic, whatever. So, you know, whatever.
That is just so sad. I mean, to me, this points out maybe one of the unintended consequences that can happen to you if you carry a firearm. Like, I don't know what the open carry laws in Nevada are like, but maybe if he was open carrying, this would have happened sooner or faster. I mean, this really can happen. People know that you have a firearm, even if you're completely, law abiding. You have no malintent. You're just basically using it for protection or having it on you for protection. And then something like this happens, a misunderstanding, and you get shot by the police. It's just incredibly sad.
Let me tell you how it went down.
I bet he never thought this would happen, you know. I bet he thought maybe he would be a hero one day, like he'd be saving somebody, or he'd protect himself or his family.
Sure.
But he probably never pictured this.
He and his girlfriend were filing out with other patients, just flowing out of the exit door. The loss prevention officer who started the whole mess pointed Scott out to the police officers at the door and then suddenly began yelling, "Stop!" The police officer did. He pointed the loss prevention officer pointed him out and said, "Stop! I said stop! Drop the gun! Get on the ground! Get on the ground!" So that this was apparently the quote as it goes.
I wonder if he probably wasn't
which one
sure.
Do I do? Do I stop? Do I drop the gun? Where is the gun? You know, the gun is in my hand. I'm going to have to, officer, I'm reaching for the gun to drop the gun. Do I get on the ground? I mean, what do I do here?
Yeah.
If you've been told these things in quick succession, what do you do?
And if he has to realize that they're talking to him, he has to. I don't know. If the gun's in a holster, you know, how could he drop it?
He hasn't done anything, too. I mean, you also want to, you know, nobody wants to get on the ground. No law-abiding citizen wants to just hop on the ground for the police when he doesn't feel like he's done anything.
Sure.
So,
and if there's really a criminal who's fleeing, are they going to stop? I don't know.
I don't know, but the officer had a chance to fire two rounds quickly into his chest at this point. As the officer began yelling, as Scott realized he was the subject of the commands, he turned, lifting his hands, and apparently tried to follow the legal requirements to immediately inform the officer that he was an armed weapons permit holder, but he didn't have the time. The officer's frantic orders lasted for a slow count of three and were immediately followed by two gunshots, a momentary pause, and a volley of several more shots. There was no pause or hesitation between the commands and the shots. The first round struck Eric in the heart and the second in his right thigh as he collapsed to the ground. The two other officers fired five more shots into his back, make sure he was dead, I guess. Numerous witnesses reported they saw Scott turn and declare that he was a permit holder. Many said that they could see both of his hands, that he made no threatening move, and all agreed that the only gun they ever saw was the one in Scott's waistband on his right hip.
Wow. So, it's so... I realize that they're probably dealing with making split-second judgments, but it is so final to take out a gun and start shooting, you know, just in those seconds. You know, they probably are trained to think that they have to react this quickly, but it is such a, a definitive decision. You know, it's such a final decision to kill somebody, you know, in just that little time. It's almost like a video game. You know, like, just shooting a person that many times, it almost probably doesn't seem like it's real. Like, that is a person's life. I don't know.
Now they just,
I don't know if they realize how serious that is.
I'm not going to be so kind. I think the police officers, a lot of police officers, don't believe that anybody but police officers and military members should carry guns. I think that they think that they're better than you, and that if you have a gun, that you're a threat to them.
Probably.
And they haven't been held account for this. And you know what? I got a prediction. They're not going to be.
It's Free Talk Live, 855-453. More coming up.
According to Mayan prophecy, 2012 will be the last Father's Day ever because the world is actually ending in what looks like a Barbie zombie alien apocalypse. Heads up! So let's make this Father's Day ultra cool. Give Ice Blue Aqua Velva aftershave.
Happy Father's Day, Dad! Whoa!
Thanks, son. Refreshing.
A Father's Day favorite for generations, Aqua Velva cools, firms, and tones.
Look out! Aliens! Zombies!
Stay cool, Dad!
Aqua Velva. Men get it.
What? There's a legendary piece of equipment in the radio world. It's the CC Radio 2. It has the best AM reception, bar none, thanks to their twin-coil ferrite AM antenna. It also has stellar FM reception, plus ham and weather. I recently got one. It's the nicest radio I've ever owned. If you're not familiar with the Sea Crane Company, their products are lauded for their quality by experts the world over. I highly endorse the Sea Crane Company. Get the CC Radio 2 at ccrane.com. CCRANE.com.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for the Spring Special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com. Civilian Emergency Dispatch System. Peace through preparedness.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. This is Stephanie.
And Mark.
And we'd love to hear from you tonight at 855-450-FREE, 855-450-FREE. 450-3733, that's our number where you can call and bring up anything that's on your mind. Would also like to remind you that if you want to discuss some of the things that you hear on Free Talk Live, you want to get a lot of, be warned, because it can get a little bit, trolly, nasty sometimes, but Free Talk Live does have a message board, a forum, I guess it's called the BBS.
The BBS is for big kids.
Yes, at bbs.freetalklive.com.
It's moderated. It didn't used to be, so I think that some of its, some of its reputation is from pre-moderation days. I would say that it's, certainly a much more civil forum than it used to be.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's good to know. Let's go to the phones, Mark. We've got Mike in Texas. Mike, are you with us?
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to make a comment about this gun story that you're talking about, and then relay a story that happened to me nearly 20 years ago. From the account that Mark read in this story, and if the eyewitnesses were remotely correct, the man had raised his hands, which is, last I heard, is basically the universal symbol of surrender.
Yep.
When you raise your hands, you're no longer threatening anybody.
Unfortunately, it seems like nowadays it's shoot first and ask questions later for these police departments, and they're becoming a lot more militarized recently. You know, they've got the SWAT gear, the big boots, the apparatuses for breaking into people's homes and doing SWAT raids, and it's very scary because you could get caught up in it. You know, even if you're just not doing anything wrong.
Oh yeah, I'm noticing it more and more that the local police departments are walking around in black fatigues now. When used to be the boys in blue, or here in Texas, most all the law enforcement officers were tan. You know, now it's slowly creeping over to black, and it looks, they look like military uniforms, not officers, you know, police.
Right. I absolutely do.
Uniform.
I think there has been some
they look like Darth Vader's to some extent. I mean, and or they'll wear blue that's so very dark that they want to still be the guys in blue, but it's just so dark it looks black, and, you know, sunglasses to obscure their eyes, and,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it seems to some extent that they want to take the, you know, the emotion and thought process out of their jobs and be sort of the mindless automatons.
I've even heard that some of the military equipment has been sold to, like, police departments.
Oh, sure.
Body armor and all the...
Given to them.
Yes, given to them, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh,
Mike.
Yeah.
What was your story that happened to you about 20 years ago?
Years ago in Nashville, went to a trade school down there.
Uh-huh.
And got pulled over basically for having my taillights out. Is what it all boiled down to. And we were one block from our school. It was me and a friend of mine in my car. And, in fact, I was taking him back home. I lived off campus. He lived on campus. And we were one block away. Cop threw the lights. I immediately ducked into the nearest parking lot, you know.
Sure.
You know, so we're off the road and safe. And it's got the lights shining on us and everything. And over the PA system, I could hear him cock his gun. And I'll tell you right now, there was two 20-year-olds in a car that threw their hands out the windows as fast as they could. And then all of this was over basically not having any taillights at night. And,
that is scary as hell.
Oh, I was scared to death.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, yeah, because I've been pulled over numerous times before, and not necessarily in Nashville, but, you know, from the age of 16 to 20, I got pulled over quite a bit.
Yeah, that's the age period. That's the age range for getting pulled over.
Mm.
Yeah, and never had anything like that happen to me before, and thankfully not since. I mean, I've been harassed by police officers since then, but just not in quite such a... it just seemed to me like it was immediate preparedness for violence.
Yeah.
And it was just overwhelming the way it was.
Well,
you know, I mean, the biggest issue I have now is with the U.S. Border Patrol. But
you know, not every police officer is going to be a bully. But you have to ask yourself who would be attracted to that kind of position, because
sure.
I'll bet you that this guy was able to cock his gun and scare you kids, you know, and maybe he thought that was fun. Maybe he thought his life was really in danger in a standard pullover with this person with
a
broken taillight.
Yeah, two kids with their hands out the window.
Who knows? You know, I'm not gonna propose to know what was going on in the person's mind. But if he was doing it for fun, just to get, hey, let's get a couple of yucks out of these kids.
Mm.
If he was doing it for that reason, what kind of person would he be? I mean, certainly. What kind of hiring practices do police departments have that weed out bullies? I've never heard of the hiring practice that weeds out bullies.
No, and actually a lot of them now are former military too. So there's that added aspect of, you know, how many people who are in the military and experience a lot of trauma from the things that they see have dealt with that trauma enough to work in a profession where they're, you know, dealing with people who, you know, they might have to apprehend or whatever. It's going to come out somewhere if they haven't dealt with it, of course. So I just feel really concerned about that. And it can't be good for you. You know, if you are in the police profession, if you're one of these law enforcement officers who is constantly on edge, I guess, about people, I don't know, maybe you're told during your training that anyone could pull a gun on you at any time or something really scary like that could happen. If you're always thinking about that and you're always playing out the worst case scenario in your mind, that's got to be really, really stressful. And like permanent long-term stress like that does have effects on people's health, you know, and well-being. So just ask yourself, you know, if you're in that situation, is this really serving my best interests? And I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he could have just simply over the PA system said, you know, put your hands out the windows and, you know, and that would have been the end of it. But he was just, I think it was an intimidation factor is what he was shooting for. But you were talking about, you know, a lot of police officers now are former military. I mean, I live in El Paso, Texas. We've got billboards up that say, you know, to, you know, returning veterans, you know, you've served your country. now serve your state. You know, join the Department of Public Safety here in Texas, which is the police department. You know, you know, statewide, the state troopers. So I mean, they're actively recruiting them, and which, trust me, I want all of them that return to have a job. Obviously, I just don't know if the police department is where we really ultimately want them.
Well, I don't, you know, maybe they'd be good, maybe they'd be bad. To me, what it is a systemic problem from the top on down. You know, why do police departments want military members, especially ones that are fresh out of the military? To me, it says they want people that will follow orders without asking questions. Is that the kind of person that I want in a police department? Because it isn't.
No, it's not for me either.
When I think about this, you know, military members are going to be good at holding and suppressing a occupied nation. They're not going to be good at you know, maintaining freedom
and
in a free country.
Trained to accept violence and killing, you know.
Right. When you're
That's a big problem.
When they're dealing with the public, they should be dealing with, you know, maybe less than 1% of the population is a criminal, but oftentimes
they're looking at everybody else as an insurgent, right? They're coming out of that mentality.
I find that, you know, far too often, you know, we find stories where they're treating everybody as criminals.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we've gotten away from their role, which is supposed to be peace officers, not.
That comes up a lot.
We call them law enforcement, but really they're supposed to be maintaining the peace. Now, how they go about doing that, many people have different ideas behind it, but it seems more or less anymore, they act more like, well, bullies, and it's all intimidation factor, and instead of
and unfortunately, they have a monopoly on providing those services, you know, of protection and safety, and so there's really no incentive for them to change, because their jobs are still going to be there. They're still going to be protected pretty much, you know, no matter what they do. And
what kind of protection do you get from a rogue police officer? What kind of protection did this guy who got shot in Las Vegas for basically nothing, this Eric Scott, what kind of protection did he get? There's no one to protect him. There's no accounting being held for this police officer that told him, that gave him these orders over, you know, maybe 3 or 4 seconds. That's what the article says. And then double tapped him in the chest.
Yeah. Mike.
It is scary.
It's scary.
Yeah. Mike, real quick, you said you had some problems with the Border Patrol. Can you elaborate real quick on that?
Well, back in November, they claimed that I tried to run over one of their agents while crossing back from Mexico into Texas. And had about 8 of them standing around me. We all 2 with pistols drawn, 1 with the stun gun drawn.
Wow.
I'm looking at them going, I'm a fool.
Very scary. Mike, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate your thoughts. It's Free Talk Live. There's more coming up. 855-450-FREE is our number. Stay tuned for Hour 3 of Free Talk Live.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money, controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
Here on Free Talk Live, we've been pretty excited about the Bitcoin. It's a decentralized, free market digital currency. You can learn more about it at weusecoins.com. But if you already have some Bitcoins and you'd like to spend them, you can spend them at spendbitcoins.com. When you spend Bitcoins on Amazon via spendbitcoins.com, Free Talk Live gets a cut. Or if you're an Australian trying to figure out how to buy Bitcoins, you can buy them with cash at au.spendbitcoins.com. Once again, that's spendbitcoins.com.